Hello, hello. Welcome to Listen Bitch Presents Tell Me Why You're Special. This is the arena where we don't just talk about transformation, we talk about what it actually costs to become someone new. Because the truth is, a lot of people talk about healing, the awakening, or stepping into something higher, but when it comes time to actually change, there's a hesitation where people get stuck staying comfortable and they stay in the familiar and they stay the same. And the real transformation is not soft. It's not a fancy Instagram aesthetic. It requires you to face yourself. I'm going to tell you what I know to be true. God does not call you to a new life without asking you to leave something behind. So today I want to get into what it actually looks like to evolve in the human experience, to rebuild and to step into something different. Today's guest is Colleen Ofsenik. She's a business owner, a wellness leader who has spent decades helping people navigate change, both practically and personally. Colleen, thank you for coming into the hot seat. My first question for you today, take me to a moment in your life where something had to change. Not like just conceptually, but for real. What happened?
I would say there are so many, because that's what life is about, is constantly evolving our soul to the light of who we are supposed to be. I would say that one point started was my very first one. I had a near-death experience when I was seven,
Wow.
and I had no control over my circumstances of what evolved from there. But in my 30s, I started remembering that event through other trauma that was happening with the divorce and becoming a single mom at the time. And I was, like I said, in my 30s. And that's when I started investigating what else is there, because I had a really successful career in banking and then in government. And I found holistic wellness and energy work and wanted to dive a little deeper into that. And I did.
Yeah, that's amazing. So I know we can't really, I mean, as far as you were seven, there's not really anything I feel like that we could let go of at that moment. It's just something you come back to. So that experience in your 30s, what are you holding on to at that time that you really had to learn to let go of?
Abandonment. And it's still a story that I can see in the rearview mirror of my life that I have to be really aware of, because we get through trauma, we become resilient, we can say we're thriving, but we still are having a human experience to learn from. I believe we're all here on earth to love ourselves. So if we can love ourselves through the challenges, that is the one challenge I would say in romantic relationships that I've dealt with through my whole life.
What does that season feel like? Because I abandonment is my thing too, and self-sabotage, they're kind of like my core things. Take me through that season emotionally of that realization and what it is to process. And I love that you're saying it's something that you have to be aware of and work through because, I mean, 8 years ago, if you would ask Brandon then, like, ooh, you're good, right? Oh, yeah, I'm good. And like, it still comes up in different seasons and different relationships and different experiences. I'm like, damn, that hurt. Like, there's that abandonment again. I see it in everything. What does that feel like emotionally before the thing shifted for you?
Well, I would say that at the time you're talking about when I first noticed it when I was in my 30s. And okay. I would say that when I divorced, my ex-husband did not provide me, or I should say I created a situation that I wasn't getting the emotional support I needed, the love. I had a friend, but he wasn't willing to change any part of himself in the evolutionary process of marriage. We were married 10 years. We had two little children. I was a very young mom. He was a young dad. And really, we didn't know what the hell we were doing. But I just knew I wanted something more. And the more I asked for him to connect with me, the more he pulled back. And that felt really deeply a deep wound for me. And I did seek therapy after the divorce and started to understand myself in different through a different perspective.
I mean, I think that's awesome, and I think a different perspective is very important. So I think you're spot on there, Colleen, with that perspective. So you've worked, you talked about banking and stuff and government. You've worked in the structured environments, and now you're in this healing space. So what changed in you personally stepping in between those two worlds?
It was I always say it was a profound calling in my heart. So I was always the person at the office that people came to with their problems, because I was always in this position of reporting to the highest board of directors.
Okay.
In both government and in the banking industry. And that meant I had to run interference for all of the managers that reported to these people.
Yeah.
And I knew that I had a real gift in helping people navigate difficult situations and in my personal life with my friends and family, because we had a lot of trauma growing up as kids. And so I used that. And then I say that it was a profound calling in my heart, because I was like, I hated the job that I was in at the time. And I was watching people stay in the job because they had a pension and they had benefits and they were killing themselves. They were getting sick. People were getting cancer. They had stress. They had all kinds of autoimmune. And I, at the time, decided to go to school while I was working. And then I got out of the job and dove in full time.
Nice. You know, that is such a similar conversation in a lot of these interviews that I get to do. For people that are in like that corporate space and the fast paced world, and so many people have that realization, and it's wild to me because there is select people that really get out of it and they watch everybody else stay.
Yeah.
You know, why do you think so many people just stay?
Fear.
Yeah.
Fear, tradition, what they knew, what they don't know. Fear is the most difficult emotion or feeling that people can get themselves through, because we can't get ourselves through it. And it comes in little, we can do little by little. We don't have to do it all at once.
Also, what you did had to be scary as hell, right? That's, you're changing gears from one end of the spectrum to another, from fast pace, all the things, to slowing down and just that introspection. So I feel like everything's scary. Whether you stay or you go, there's fear. What do you think about you? What made you different in that you embraced the fear of change instead of you did it?
I will say I am one of the unique odd people that didn't have fear of change. I had fear of not changing.
Ah, I love that.
Who would I become if I stayed? How much more anger would I store inside my body? Mm-hmm. How sick could I make myself? How toxic would my relationships can be with my kids or family or my spouse? You know, those kinds of things. That was the fear for me. So if I don't get to evolve and change, I do all kinds of crazy things. Like I wrote a book and now I'm writing a different kind of book. And it's just like, I follow my heart and I'm a pretty happy person. I'm going to be 61 in a couple of weeks and I don't have to take any medications. And I'm one of the healthiest 61-year-olds I know. So it proves to me that if you pay attention to your heart, that you really will have a healthy body and a healthy life.
Yeah, I love that. And thank you for saying that to my audience, because that is something I think people don't understand. You know, just even going through that transformation, the minute you start looking inside, everything changes. It's from the inside out. I think that's amazing. Where do people romanticize healing instead of actually just doing the work?
I'm sorry.
Where do you think people actually romanticize the idea of healing instead of actually doing the work?
We have something called spiritual bypassing.
Mm-hmm.
And basically how I like to explain it, because there's many ways to explain it, is if you go to one therapist or one healer mm-hmm. or one psychic reader to another without, and they're all pointing out the same thing and not doing the work, because you can put a Band-Aid on it mm-hmm. with a healing session. But if you're not allowing yourself to feel deeply and connect with those feelings, like you're robotic or you're mm-hmm. detached, then there's no progress in that arena of healing.
Yeah, I can see that. What is the biggest mm-hmm. thing, now that you're working with people, what is the biggest thing you see people avoiding about facing themselves?
The shadow work. They know it, and they might talk about it, and they might not walk the walk.
Yeah.
They talk about it. They say, I know what it is. As I had worked, I've had the opportunity to work with thousands of women over the years. And they're in front of me for a reason. Very few of them will not continue the work. there have been some who it was just too much for them.
Yeah.
And, or there's somebody else that's better for them that they go to work it through. But I will say that the shadow work and understanding that it's just a part of ourselves that needs love mm-hmm. versus, I don't know if I can swear on this show,
it's called Listen, Bitch Presents.
It's just saying like, fuck that.
Yeah.
Fuck that feeling. I don't want to deal with that, and we need to really not do that and say, well, what is that?
Yeah.
And understand myself. How am I going to fall in love with anyone, including myself, if I don't fully understand what makes me tick? What is that part of myself I'm avoiding?
When you say shadow work, can you kind of elaborate on what that means for people that wouldn't understand the term?
Yeah. So those are feelings we bury inside of ourselves. It could be fear. It could be anger,
like shame.
But not the healthy kind of anger, shame, guilt, those kinds of things. And they're all valid. They're all important, but we can't do that to ourselves. We can't continue to do that. Society does that enough.
Yeah.
Real love doesn't have those things. I'm not saying you don't get mad at someone you love.
Yeah.
But I'm saying that unhealthy rage that we get held inside of our bodies that becomes toxic.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm talking
Which
about.
Which is just that suppressed anger, right? Like anger is just it's data. It's data of like, yes, I don't know why the whole world just kind of paused. Like anger is super normal. It's just giving you a message. And when we start compacting that, then we end up being rage monsters. So it's just express it, You talk about self-love, Colleen. What does that actually require from someone?
The willingness to look at themselves honestly and to understand, again, that ego part of ourselves. Because a lot of people go around, even spiritual people, don't let that ego rule things. Well, the ego is here to help us navigate Earth. It's very important, and it just needs love. So I like people to understand what the ego is, mm-hmm. what the shadow work is. And we do that by a lot of conversation and talking about the traumas that they've been through, because sometimes this shadow stuff comes from trauma. In fact, often it comes from trauma.
Yeah.
And when we can understand ourselves through different eyes and different perspectives and really know what the four agreements are, right?
Yeah.
Like practicing, it doesn't really matter what anybody else says, and without judgment of myself or others, then I can really take steps toward practicing self-love by not judging myself or letting others affect how I feel about me.
I love that. And what you're saying about the ego, even in I'm on this incredible journey of building my relationship with Christ. And I think even reading the Bible, there's places for my ego. Like ego is here to help us navigate the world. And what it comes down to is there is a place for it. And there's times where you have to just kind of be able to look at yourself and say, all right, am I an ego or obedience? Which one am I in? Am I, but I think, man, ego can be utilized as a tool for survival. I mean, if I didn't have ego, I wouldn't be doing the podcast, right? Whether or not it's stewarding the mission, there has to be some level of, can I take myself outside of these things? When you're working with people, where do you see people getting stuck in cycles, even when they think they're growing?
Well, I want to go back a little bit. So when I was doing naturopathic work, I thought, this is amazing, because everybody was getting better, but they would cycle. They'd be on board and do all the things, but they weren't doing their emotional and spiritual work. So they would cycle a lot, right? Then I flipped it and said, I'm a naturopath, but I can bring that in later when they're mentally, emotionally, and spiritually ready to make those changes, because about 50% of the time they would start implementing changes on their own without me saying, you need this supplement, you need to eat that, and don't eat this, and blah blah blah. Everybody has a common knowledge of what's healthy, right? So once we started doing the work that meant, like, customized, of course, on every person's journey, and then just because I work a little bit more I would say like firm with some clients, others need gentle TLC, and so it just depends every person has their own journey, and we navigate that together, and they figure it out. They're doing the healing. I'm just walking the walk with them.
Yeah, I can see that. And I mean, you're building businesses and communities. What does leadership look like when you're dealing with all of these people's emotions and identities?
Well, when I had the healing center, and I have another smaller version of the healing center now because of COVID, I believe like attracts like. So if I'm in check and I'm confident, but not ego-centered that I'm better than anybody, then I will attract those practitioners in. And those people and I will work together cohesively as a team for the betterment of our community or our clients and each other. Because it's nurturing, it's beautiful. I'm not saying it's without conflict. There's sometimes debate and conflict, but that's for growth and to be, again, for the betterment of the community.
I love that. What is something that you've had to really stay grounded in when shit hits the fan? Like when stuff around you is going crazy? Because life is lifing. That's why I tell people this is the arena. Like we're getting our ass kicked no matter what.
Right. I would say, when I had the bigger center, we had 20 practitioners. Okay. There's a lot of different gifts and personalities to navigate. And I still use it today. So I went from corporate and government, where you have to be a hard ass and kind of an asshole in general, to having to soften that and not be so hardcore with all these healers and these women that I was working with, because I only had like one or two men who were there on and off.
Yeah.
And even today, I sometimes, I'm business oriented and I'm business first in some arenas. And even then I have to kind of soften that. So that's been a challenge, like not to be like, come on, get your shit together. Let's figure this out. You know, I have to be softer and say, okay, well, let's talk about the challenge here. Let's look at it through all the eyes possible so that we can come up with a nice solution. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love this because, like, I love this conversation. Every conversation I have stretches me, but we're definitely opposite ends of the spectrum. Because I am that person that's like, get the fuck over yourself. Like, excuses
I
are
used to
only
be.
Going to get so far. And I feel like when I did go soft and coddle people, it was not me. That is not how God created me. It's not what I needed either. I don't, you know what I'm saying? So I
100%
love that there's
get it.
Someone for everyone. And I mean, that's, I love it. I love that for you.
Am not coddling people. I want to be clear on that. Like, I am pretty firm with people, but I had to find how to speak my truth firmly and directly, because I'm always a direct person, in loving kindness for the people who couldn't take it the way I could deliver it.
Yeah.
So I pick and choose the ways I deliver it. And when I was in my 40s, that was a real challenge for me, because I was pretty harsh. And my daughter was helping me manage the wellness center. And she was like, Mom, you can't be
You're gonna
Colleen.
chase everyone away.
So I had to like reel that in a little bit.
Yeah. No, I love that. And I love that she helped you get through that process. And I love that. Because there are people that definitely come from the environments where they need that softer edge, and like attracts like, right? So I know anybody in
Absolutely.
my arena, I know my
Yes.
competitors, like they can handle it. And if they can't, they leave. And that's, again, where do I learn that, you know, processing abandonment? I practice, and I practice by being abandoned, by being myself, right? There's always going to be people that aren't for you. And I think we
100%.
definitely magnetize to what comes. Someone listening right now, Colleen, they're feeling like they're being pulled towards something new, but they don't trust it. So what would you advise them to actually do?
I love a practice called heart coherence. Are you familiar with that?
Oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah, so
Dr.
it's
Joe
basically,
Dispenza. Yeah, he
100%.
taught
Yeah.
me that.
Mm-hmm. And I teach my clients how to get into that heart space so that we can trust the intuition that comes from it, because really that's where our intuition lives. And it's the spark of light. We have photons of measurement of light, right? So if I'm just average day, 1,000 to 5,000 photons of light, but if I meditate on love and gratitude and bring that into my heart space, our energy of photons goes to 100,000. That's proof right there. So that's where I go, is when there's struggle. What is your heart telling you? And if they can't even get there, we work on that with meditation.
Yeah.
Each together and separately.
I love that. What is something about your everyday life that people meeting you on the outside would not expect at all?
I don't know. I think I'm pretty authentic, and what you see is what you get. I don't know how to answer that. I've worked really hard to be transparent and me. I would say years ago, it might be that I harbored a great deal of anger inside of me, even though I was fine on the outside. And that took a lot of work. I did neurofeedback. I did meditation. All my education, I applied it to myself because I believe it's really important to be authentic as a practitioner. I'm not perfect, but I don't really have an answer. Sorry. Yeah.
No, I get that. I get that. I play Barbies with my kids. I'm sure that would shock a lot of people when I am that aggressive person, right?
Oh, well, if we're going there, I play with my, I play with my grandchildren, I would say then. Yeah. Playing choo-choo train with them in school and stuff like that.
Colleen, my last question for you today, if everything works out for you this year, at the end of this year, what is the message that you want to be known for?
That women are to be loved and honored, but in order to get that, they have to do it themselves first. We have to show people, right?
Yeah.
So I have one quote in the book. It's like says, "Why is self-love so difficult for women?" And the answer is because they told us who we were not, so we doubted who we could become.
Oh, I love that. Where can people find your books? How can they get resourced with you if they want to work with you? Someone's listening and they're like, yeah, Brandon's a bully, so I'm going to go work with Colleen. How can they find you?
This is my book, Divine Feminine Emergence, and it's on Amazon. And The Love Light Connection is my business, and they can Google me and they'll find me pretty much all over the place.
Perfect. This is the part of the show, Colleen, where I get to tell you what I think makes you special. And it's not just the work you do, it's that you actually lived through the change. You moved through the different seasons and obviously very different identities and different ways of seeing the world. You didn't stay the same, and you built something incredible from that. And the fact that you're helping, you know, women face those same moments and to turn to loving themselves first, I think this is huge, where they decide if they're actually going to change or stay where they are. I think the work you're doing is not easy, but I think it is incredibly needed. And I think that makes you incredibly special. And to everyone listening, change sounds good until it costs you something, until you have to let go, until you have to be honest, until you have to look in that mirror, until you actually have to move. But God doesn't call you to transformation so you can stay the same person. He calls you forward. So you have to be radically honest with yourself. You guys, your mess is your message. Even the confusion, even the identity shifts, even the moments where you have no idea who the fuck you are. That is where your growth is built. And if this episode speaks to you, please share it with someone who needs it. Colleen has an audience to reach, and there is one person out there that she cannot contact or get in her container unless you help us out. So it's a very selfless thing just to share the show out so she can, her people could be calibrated with her. So I appreciate your help in that. You guys, leave a review. Stars are super cute, but if you actually type something in there, that's how the algorithm lets us know that we're needed out there. And if you guys are ready for the hot seat, come tell me why you're special. Colleen, thank you so much. This was an awesome conversation.
Thank you. Thank you.